Hi, this is Tom Brevoort, and you are listening to the Captain America Comic Fans Podcast.
Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 145 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. This is Rick Verbanis. I'm your host, and I am, as always, joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. That is Worcester Bob Lucius. Oh, Bob, it's time to nut up or shut up.
My wife was just telling me that the other day.
Yeah? I don't want to know what the situation was.
Rick, I have no idea where that's from. But it sounds like something I'd like.
Yeah, well, it sounds like something she'd like.
That's what she said, yeah.
All right, how about this one? All right. You want to feel how hard I could punch?
No? I still don't know.
No? All right, no. All right. Give you another one.
All right.
All right. Where are you, you spongy, yellow, delicious bastards?
Again, I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. Well, that last one was a reference to Twinkies in case anybody was thinking anything else. All right. So, Bob, what are we covering today?
Well, we're covering Dimension Z issue.
Yeah. And what's the challenge I gave myself, Bob?
Well, it was going to start with a Z.
Yeah.
Yes.
What movie that starts with a Z has a guy who loves Twinkies?
I don't know, man.
That would be Zombieland.
You know, I've never seen it.
No? Oh, it's a fun movie.
Isn't there a sequel to?
There is, Double Tap.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a good cast.
I've only ever seen one scene.
Which one?
I'm not sure if it was from Double Tap. I think it might have been from Double Tap. It's the one where the girl starts turning into a zombie in the front seat, and they got to pull over and shoot her. And the Emma Stone character.
Yeah. You know. All right. Yeah, Emma Stone's great in the movie. Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg. They're great cast, and it's a fun. It's edited well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little kooky.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. It's rated R. I'm not sure, you know, whether or not you want Bobby to see it, but
he's probably already watched it. So.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He could probably quote it to you.
He probably could.
Yeah. But yeah, both movies are fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
Love to check that out.
Zombieland.
I like movies.
Yeah. Well, you'll love this one then.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we are talking about Z for Zola, because Bob, it is part 6 of an 8-part series where we are covering Castaway and Dimension Z. Now, this was the volume 7 that came out 2013. It was 10 years ago, Bob. So we're covering issue 6 today, which, listen, 10 years ago, you walked into a comic book shop, it was sitting on the counter.
It was, yeah. I miss those days, Rick.
Yeah, just walking into a comic shop?
I do. I miss living in a town where there was a local comic shop that I could stop on my way home from work and just pull in and see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a bunch of stuff that I'd hide under my back seat and then go home and, you know, sneak it in later that night, bag and board it, and, you know, thumb through some stuff. I miss those days.
Ah, yeah.
Just
I
the
miss
discovery.
I miss owning a comic book store. That was a lot of fun. Having those conversations with the customers when they came in. I made a lot of friends.
I heard.
Yeah. And I miss those days as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we are just now talking about comics.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny is we've heard people say that our show reminds them of walking into a comic book store and hearing two friends or, you know, talking about comics, you know, just kind of getting into that middle of that conversation. So I'm glad we could provide that for people out there who maybe, like you, don't have a comic book shop near them.
Right. And I had no idea, Rick, frankly, that friends of mine from high school were listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, well, it was cool. I hope I didn't, you know, of course, I didn't mean to, you know, tell stories out of school. I never thought in a million years.
You get caught.
When I get caught, that he'd be listening to this, but I'm glad that he was, because as you know, as I mentioned in the Facebook group, he was a really a great friend of mine who got me into comics in the first place,
and James Bond.
And James Bond, and we spent a lot of time going back and forth to the comic shop that was local, and going to watch James Bond movies that were being shown at a local theater in one of those small boutique theaters. We spent a lot of time. In fact, we made a lot of James Bond movies, 8mm movies. And
that's so much fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. So, yeah. It's neat to, I haven't talked to him in years, but it's cool that we're still connected in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the power of social media and podcasts, stuff like that. Yeah, it brings people together. So, I'm sure I've asked you this before. Who was your favorite James Bond?
Oh, well, you know, I think it would have had to have been, you know, I really like Daniel Craig now. I mean, I think he's done a fabulous job, but you know, I grew up on watching the movies, you know, in reruns at the theater. And I got to tell you, I always had a soft spot in my heart for George Lazenby.
Oh, you know, he did the one movie.
He did the one.
Right. And some say, this was back when we had four James Bonds, you know, that a lot of people said that he was their favorite.
Yeah, there was just something about him that I really liked. I always thought, you know, Roger Moore was a bit too campy for me. Sean Connery always just seemed a bit, I mean, I love Sean Connery. I think he thought he did a great job. This is a great James Bond. But he was just a bit too... not full of himself, although his version of Bond was very self-confident in that way, almost to the point of sort of being obnoxious. But George Lazenby, I think, you know, just was straight down the road. You could see him like being a professional spy, you know, a James Bond spy, of course. But and of course, the whole, you know, the whole getting married and,
yeah,
and her death at the end. Hope I didn't spoil it for anybody. And
well, you didn't say the movie yet.
No, we didn't. Yes. Mm-hmm. And
but it's the one with George Lazenby.
Great soundtrack. Louis Armstrong. We have all the time in the world. Yeah. It still gets me whenever I hear that song.
No. Oh, yeah. So I grew up on Roger Moore. So I liked the campy.
You're an Octopussy fan?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. View to a Kill.
Yeah.
Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
What is the
Man with the Golden Gun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scaramanga.
What was the Forever?
Diamonds Are Forever?
No. I mean, yeah, but no, there was a song. Anyway, what was the one where he maybe it was View to a Kill. Was that the one where he got tied with the woman and got dragged underneath the water?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he got Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan both got screwed. Because Roger Moore was actually slated to be James Bond but then he was the Saint. This black and white thing.
Yeah, great show.
And so they went with Sean Connery instead. Uh-huh. And so when Sean Connery decided to, you know, hang it up, they went back to Roger Moore, which was original idea.
Hmm.
And by that point, he was older.
Yeah.
And so he played an older James Bond, like, you know, like almost like getting closer to like a retirement, you know, some of those later movies, like View to a Kill or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then the same thing happened to Pierce Brosnan. So when Roger Moore retired, Pierce Brosnan was, everybody was like, oh, he's the next James Bond. And he was, you know, just, he was doing Remington Steele at the time.
Right.
And because he was so popular from like the speculation, Remington Steele renewed the show for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was under contract and he couldn't get out of it. So they gave it to Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Timothy Dalton did what, 2-3 movies?
Yeah,
and then
two or three, yeah.
Yeah. And then Pierce Brosnan, you know, got it after Timothy Dalton was done.
Yeah.
So it's same thing happened, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who do you want the next James Bond to be?
I don't know. I read the other day they interviewed Henry Cavill. So I don't know how that's going to work, but I don't know. I mean, I'd heard in the past, Idris Elba.
Yeah. I don't like that.
You don't like that? I love Idris. I watch anything that Idris is in.
I love him as an actor.
He's just amazing. You know?
I do. But have him play, I don't know, 006 or 008. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, listen, I know.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. I'm one of those purists. Like I want my comic character, I want my movie characters to represent what I know is the character. So if somebody is white, they're white. If they're black, they're black. If they're female, they're female. They're male, they're, you know what I mean? Like I understand, you know, casting choices and things like that, but I don't know. I personally like sticking to more to, like, don't change it up. Like,
yeah. Well, they'd have a hard time. Yeah, obviously. It couldn't be 007, right? I mean, he could be 007. It would just be a different 007.
He wouldn't be James Bond.
He wouldn't be James Bond, right? Because Bond, they covered his whole upbringing and his relationship with Blofeld.
Exactly.
I mean, that whole thing. So. Yeah, I mean, they could do a younger James Bond, perhaps.
That
might be interesting. Or the early years, you know?
Well, but then again, Daniel Craig, his first movie was early years. That's when he got his 007 designation.
Yeah, but maybe early years. They can always go earlier, right?
All right, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to hem too closely, I think, to, you know, the path that's laid down. But I do agree with you that I think, you know, I mean, it's hard to ignore the whole upbringing and, you know, that they covered Inspector anyway.
Right.
But
yeah. See,
I'm
like to me, like Miles Morales, right?
Yeah.
I have no problem with Miles Morales because, you know, he's black. He's, you know, I think he's Hispanic. Right.
Yeah.
But he's a completely different character. He's not Peter Parker.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I just,
no, I get that. I mean, there's a whole mythology built, which includes their background. And
exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got no problem with the multiverse. I got no problem with, you know, derivative characters like Miles Morales
problem with derivative characters.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Representation is.
I want to see American Dream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah.
who do you want to cast for that?
Oh goodness, I don't know. You know, I think it'd be fun. I don't think they could pull
his face just lit up like
I don't think
believe.
They could pull it off, but I think it would be super awesome if who's the lady that plays Sharon Carter in the movies?
Oh, I don't remember the actress's name. Yeah.
Yeah, get her in the gym. She'd be fine.
Why would they do that though? She's already playing another character in the Marvel Universe. Why would she play a separate one?
It's a multiverse, man.
Okay. All
it's
right.
A multiverse, right?
I see.
So, yeah.
I mean, she is a Carter.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. We got a birthday this week, Bob. Celebrating a birthday, July 13th would have been the 82nd birthday for Tom Palmer.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom Palmer was a legendary inker, mostly for Marvel Comics. I mean, this guy, he had done over 800 different stories, over 17,000 different pages. Yeah, he started in the 60s. And he did work, all the way up to, you know, close to his death. legendary inker, Tom Palmer, would have been 82.
Wow.
Yeah, on July 13th.
That's an amazing body of work. And to continue, you know, loving the work enough that you work up close to the end of your life. That's impressive, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. As far as Captain America, I think he only did one issue. He did the volume 3, number 50, which was the last issue of that. That's when they had like a whole bunch of different creators come in and, you know, do some work on that, that particular, special issue.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
And well, if anybody's interested in hearing about Captain America 50, and if anybody wants to check out that episode, we did Captain America volume 3, number 50 in episode 50. So you could check that out.
So long ago.
It was, Bob. That was like 100 episodes ago. Almost. Yeah. It's hard to believe we're coming up on episode 150 soon.
It is. But I know some listeners will be really happy that we're continuing to add episodes.
Wait, at some point, Bob, do you think we should start over and do a new number one?
Volume two?
No, season two.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. People seem to get really, there's two types of folks, Rick, in our Facebook group. Ones that are really excited about a new volume launching, and another one would go, oh man, it's restarting at number one.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. Well, we could do season two, number one, and then just do legacy numbering.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. Not the best of both worlds.
Exactly. I don't think we could get a spike in listens at all, though.
No, probably not.
But speaking of listeners, Bob, we have to announce the winner. Remember, we had a contest for the Taco Bell giveaway, the Taco Bell Captain America number one Supreme
exclusive collector's edition, right?
Yes. I was about to say Supreme Nacho, but we were giving that away.
Yeah.
And we said, you know, the next three people that give us a 5-star review, we'll pick one of you, and we got to do that. We have to totally do that, Bob. You ready?
Yeah. Roll that big canister.
All right. This the winner is. I feel like I want to do like Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation. Drum roll.
No,
you're supposed to go.
I don't think my tongue does that, Rick. Sadly. Oh, yeah.
That's what she said. All right. So the winner of the Taco Bell number one exclusive Supreme giveaway is Mr. Brent Beisel. Beisel?
Ah, the crowd goes wild. Oh, yay.
All right. Congratulations, Brent. And we appreciate your review on Apple Podcasts and giving us a 5-star review. And it just so you know, the title to it was "The Greatest Cap-Centric Podcast Ever?" ? We hope now that you're the winner, you'll change that to an !
Oh, indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Brent, just send me an email to capcomicfans@gmail.com. capcomicfans@gmail.com, or hit me up on Facebook, send me a message, and we'll get your details, and we'll get this out in the mail to you. And by the way, there's a few other things I have to get out in the mail to people. Thank you, everybody, for being patient. I have had been burning the candle at both ends here for a little while now, and then I just took the family on a vacation for 10 days.
Research junket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just got back late last night, and I spent all day today editing podcasts. So I promise I will be getting stuff. If I owe you something in the mail, it'll be going out soon, I promise.
Rick, I didn't ask you, but did you have a chance to see any comics while you were
traveling? I did. So I'm there. You know, my sister lives in Spain, and so she on one of our many walking junkets, what does she call them? I can't remember the name of the term for a journey. But anyway, we would, you know, walking around Madrid, and we walked to a comic book store that was no longer there.
I know.
Mm. Probably one of those things I probably would have checked before going, because it was a long walk. But, you know, it was a thought that counts.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then there was supposed to be a second comic shop we were going to walk to, but somehow it didn't work out.
Ooh.
But I did walk. They did have some like pop culture stores.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, selling Funko Pops and things like that.
Yeah.
And I did walk into one store, and they had a life-size statue of Chris Evans's Captain America.
Really?
Yeah, in a glass case.
Wow.
And so I have a picture of me standing with it.
Yeah.
That I was going to post in the Facebook group. So
yeah,
by the time people are listening
that.
To this, they probably already seen it. But
yeah.
Yeah, so I'll post that in there. And then I was there for Father's Day. And so at the end of the trip, my kids presented to me a Captain America Funko Pop. It was the black light one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So yep. Anyway. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it was fun.
Nice. Put it right next to your lava lamp.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Bob, do you think maybe we have another 5-star review I need to get to?
Oh gosh, I really, really hope so, Rick.
We do, Bob.
Yes.
I'm gonna read this one. This one is through somebody.
Spectacles, folks.
This one's called Rockvale, Rochvail. This is from Rockvale, and they wrote a 5-star review. The topic is fun podcast! Exclamation point. All right. They wrote, I've been listening to this podcast since the beginning. I had my own podcast for 8 years about heavy metal, so I know how much prep goes into doing interviews and putting together the content. I appreciate Rick's thoroughness, and I crack up at Robert's lack thereof.
Well, thank you.
It makes for a fun dynamic. Bob's insight on the military, thank you for your service, sir, gives me a different perspective about Cap, makes me think differently about some of his character traits. I enjoy the interviews very much. I also enjoyed the special top 10 and themed episodes. The only aspect of the show that gets a little tedious to listen sometimes is the panel-by-panel readings of the issues. But it doesn't bother me enough to knock down a star. Great job, guys.
All right. And I like that exclamation point after fun podcasts. Notice he didn't use a question mark.
That's right. So, well, thank you, Rockvale. We appreciate that. Going on to Apple and giving us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. That certainly helps us get a little bit more noticed out there. I guess that's how the algorithms work or whatever. So thank you. We really, really do appreciate the review. And just for that, we're going to get into the comic, reading it panel by panel. Should we get to the comic, Bob?
He's not joking, folks. Oh yeah, let's do it. Let's jump on in, for crying out loud.
But we will at the end of this episode, we will announce our next episode, which is a top 10 list.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. We'll talk about that.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Bob, so let's get to the cover. This is Captain America Volume 7, Number 6. And as I mentioned before, it had a cover date of June 2013, so 10 years ago. Bob, do you want to describe the cover to our listeners?
I'll take a crack at it, Rick. So, you know, right smack dab in the middle of this cover, we've got Captain America, and he, you know, I love this pose that he's got him because he's bent over, hunched over, right? He is running toward you. Mm-hmm. He's got his shield in his right hand. He's got his left hand clenched. It's not quite in a fist, but like you could tell he's getting ready to form a fist with that left hand. Mm-hmm. And he's running because his legs are crossed over each other. So, you know, he's in the middle of a stride and mm-hmm. it's raining, right? There's water on the ground. You could see the water splashing at his footfall, and it's pouring all the way around him. So rain is just falling off him and all around him. And his uniform is not as torn as we have seen it in previous episodes, but it does mm-hmm. have some damage, right? There's some damage around his knees, and it's not torn in the chest as we expected to see, but he looks really upset, really angry, I should say, as he's steamrolling toward the reader.
Very nice. And you know, John Romita Jr., he loves to do characters in the rain. I don't know if he just finds it, I don't know. I mean, is it easier just to do that than draw a background? Yeah,
interesting.
Like, but he does it a lot.
It can't be, Rick. I mean, because you know, if you look at the style, you know, if the stylized background, this rain, you can it's almost 3D, right? I mean, you can see the raindrops in the foreground falling off Cap, but the further back you go, the blurrier those raindrops get. There's a lot of detail and technique in this cover, despite the lack of a background.
Yeah, I agree. And usually John Romita Jr.'s rainy drawings aren't like this. This one is a little different. I wonder if it was by the, you know, the colorist Dean White mm-hmm. had something to do with it, because he's credited and the inker Klaus Johnson is also credited to the cover. So I'm wondering if that has anything to do with it. Rick Remender is the writer. And so he is writing this complete volume. And then in addition to the inkers, Tom Palmer, which we mentioned for his birthday, and Scott Hanna are credited to this issue. Klaus Janssen is now also credited to this issue. So there's three inkers on here. So I'm wondering if maybe there was a crunch time or something like that. And then, as I mentioned, Dean White's the colorist, Joe Caramanga, the letterer, and then Tom Brevoort is the editor. Shall I read the solicitation, Bob?
Oh, I wish you would.
The odd war of Dimension Z continues. Steve Rogers is dead. Long live Captain Zola. A traitor strikes. Arnim Zola gets everything he wants. Yeah, let's talk about that. Cap's dead, right? At least that's what Zola thinks, because at the end of last issue, he fires onto Steve Rogers, forcing him to fall off of a cliff and go into a ravine. Surely that must have killed him. Zola's just like, oh, I'm done. Let's go back and have some tea. You know, like he just, no.
IoT.
Exactly. He doesn't send anybody after to go find the body or it doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Right. Why not? You know, or maybe he did. And he was just hard to find because Cap woke up. And then if you remember, he climbed up the cliff and he got a spear and he chucked it into his chest. Well, maybe not chuck, but pried it into his chest to pull out the implant of the Zola virus that was in his body.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That was pretty wild. And then that last page, remember, it was all one gigantic splash page. Oh, and by the way, it was Steve Rogers in the rain. And anyway, he's hunched over and he says, "I'm coming for my son."
Great cliffhanger.
It was. All right. So let's get to this one. You want to read the little recap where it says previously?
Sure, I'd love to, Rick. 12 years ago, evil scientist Arnim Zola trapped Captain America in Dimension Z to run genetic experiments on him. Steve escaped Zola's fortress, absconding with an infant he named Ian. He raised Ian among the Frocks, Dimension Z natives, who oppose Zola's reign. After a bloody battle between the Frocks and Zola's mutates, led by his deadly daughter, Jet Black, Zola took Ian and blasted Steve off a cliff. Steve survived and swore an oath of retribution. He's coming for his son.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so we get to the next page, and the opening page has had multiple panels. Looks like, you know, like 7 panels on this page. And it is Jet Black, his daughter, who, you know, let's just say she's probably around 20, something like that. Bob, how would you describe how she looks again?
Well, I'm glad that she pointed out that she was about 20, Rick, so for legal purposes. So, you know, she's very tall. She's very lean and muscular. She has long jet black hair. And she wears a very interesting attire, right? It's, it looks like it's essentially very tight, very black, but they're essentially, straps that go around her thighs and her calves and her midsection, her upper arms, around her upper chest. And if you recall, you know, she has this ability to heighten her senses. And this is these
from
bands.
The skin.
Yeah, from her skin. And so these allow her to control those that level of sensitivity. So she's not constantly overpowered by external, you know, stuff. It's the word I'm looking
technical
for.
Technical turd.
This stuff. I don't want to be too sciencey, you know.
Science-y. Yeah,
stimuli. That's it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you feeling a little stimuli there, Bob?
I am actually. Yeah.
All right. And then you've totally left out the headgear.
Yeah, the headgear, which I on previous occasions I've mentioned, has a certain kind of almost a little bit of a Loki feel, right? It's a golden band around her forehead with some gold bands that come down on either side of her face. It's an interesting piece of headgear. To my recollection, they don't explain what it is or what it's for. Maybe it's some sort of crown.
Yeah. I mean, she is a princess.
Yeah. She's a princess. So maybe it's her princess crown.
Could be. So the first panel is, we see the outside of, a very tall building. Looks like if you were in the middle of a city, and this might be the Citadel. And then there's a glowing Z in front of it for Zola. And then we hear Jet Black's voice. And she is kneeling at some sort of, it looks like in a church of some sort. And she's praying. "Father, forgive me, for my sins are many. Your will for me is at odds with polluted urges stirring. I fear I may stray from the ideals you've taught me, that my standing is at risk. My purity and abstinence, I feel it being tested. Perhaps that is why you sequestered me here, allowing me to learn and grow free from such temptation. I've never seen a creature like him. Never felt the unrest his form stirred within me. More than just his physical beauty, there was a powerful allure to his temperance and mercy." And so we see her thoughts, and she's going back to the battle where she was fighting Captain America, and he was swinging his shield around. evil notions I have been taught to loathe. Yet I don't. He didn't kill me on the battlefield. Compassionate, yet powerful. Or was there something else? What madness inspires a man to hold power and not use it? Please forgive me, Father. He stands against everything you've taught me. Yet I am drawn to Captain America. Reveal to me what it is to learn from this trial, and guide me from this evil and into salvation. Amen. And Bob, it's quite the page there.
That is an awesome page.
Describe it.
Yeah, it's like you're in the back of a church, Rick, right? And you mm-hmm. see the form of Jet Black kneeling at her prayer do, right? The little prayer bench as she's facing forward. And then beyond her, you see this enormous, what appears to be a stained glass window reaching from the floor all the way to the ceiling. And it must be, you know, relative to her, 50 feet tall of Arnim Zola. A stained glass mirror, a window of Arnim Zola, and all these wonderful colors, and the detail is amazing on this. You can see the individual fragments of glass rendered in this image. It's really quite stunning.
It is, absolutely is. And you know, it's funny. Is like my vacation, we were doing some sightseeing. We went to this old cathedral that was probably like 500 years old or something like that, you know, seeing all the stained glass in there, and then coming to this comic and looking at this and seeing right. Big Zola. It's a little weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. All right. Next page. We get to two guards that are outside in front of a building, and these are the mutates, right? And they are. Do you want to describe these creatures to our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of hard to describe. They're sort of...
Why do you think I gave it to you, Bob?
Yeah, I think they look a lot, you know, they look a lot like the alien from the Aliens movie, right? Except they're very chunky and blocky looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, their arms, their bodies, their legs, they're all sort of armored plates and scales. Mm-hmm. They've got very strange shaped heads that look a lot like the xenomorph from Aliens, except they've got protrusions, and again, blocky and armored, sticking out all over them. They're not the most attractive of beings, obviously.
No.
Unless you're, I guess, one of them.
Yeah, yeah. And they talk funny.
They do, yeah.
Meet some, and me suck on marrow. Drink the blood. Her, good war, yes, yes. Them's frocks and the sweet meat. War power. War fun. Drink so much from the body. Slurp and suck the good blood from... What, M?
And they look up, and there's a... some sort of ship that is firing through the sky that is coming right at them.
Sad frocks? Come for murder? No. Us rocket. Lost mutate? No mutate?
And it was just one of those riders that like Cap rode before, but it's empty and it's just set on a crash course and hits the door and it has a huge explosion, Bob. Does it make a noise?
No.
Boom!
That'll work. Yeah, that'll work.
Improv.
Nice. Hey. Yeah.
Acting.
So there's a whole bunch of smoke and all of the mutates are running towards battle. And then the leader is like,
attack! Bring for us death! Bring us all the hate! Kills them up any.
And then coming from the sky is Captain America's shield, but it's pointing up and down, right? So it's a vertical rather than horizontal. And it's coming right for the head of the leader. And he says,
oh, no.
And it goes right into his head. What sound does that make, Bob?
Shlunk.
And it just sticks. And it cuts his head in two. It just sticks into it. Now, that's not something we see too often from Captain America.
We don't, and it's all like green goop coming out of it. So, yeah.
Lead our fall! Kill them evils!
And they start firing in that general direction.
Unseen intruder, come! Reveal evil for murder!
And they're firing. Zola's grown himself a legion of idiots. Small men surrounded themselves with small minds. But it doesn't matter. Smart, dumb, nothing can stop me. And so we see Cap running by, and he pulls the shield from the green gloop, and it makes a sound, Bob. And so Cap does have the battle weary uniform, right? I mean, it's a 12-year-old uniform. It's been seen better days. He has his mask off. He has a beard, and he's determined. In this next panel, he has this look of anger I don't think I've ever seen on him before. And his face is red and wrinkled and bloodied. And he's running, and he says, I'm coming for you, Arnim. Coming to put an end to you once and for all. And then we cut to inside, and we get to Jet Black, who is kneeling in front of Ian, who, again, he's 12. And he's got a little uniform on and a cape and some long boots and gloves. And she's talking to him. There, you look very handsome in your armor, brother. Are you ready? Father will have much wisdom to impart on you today. He's not my father. He killed my father. And if he's so wise, why did he needlessly murder those innocent Frox families? And what the hell's wrong with you that you can't see this is wrong? Had our father raised you, you would have learned very simple truths. Life is struggle. To beat life, you have to best all life. You can be food, or you can be fed. My father raised me to live by simple truths as well. Always protect the weak. Always stand up. Never give up hope. And never compromise the good inside you for anything. But you clearly failed that one a long time ago. I'll never forgive you for what you did to them. The Frocks were good and kind. And she turns away. And as she's walking away, she says, and look what that got them. We cut back to Cap, and he is running towards Zola, and we have his inner monologue thoughts. A decade of my life stranded here. A decade you stole from me, robbed me of my life with Sharon, robbed me of my friends, taken away from my responsibilities. A decade spent living in a cave on this godforsaken planet. A decade, Arnold. You've taken that piece of my life. Time I'll never get back. And you can have it, but you can't have him. You can't have his future. He's not yours. He might have your genes, but he's my son. He's good at heart and he's strong. You'll never corrupt him. He'll never serve in whatever twisted scheme you've got cooked up on this time, whatever the hell you're doing there. I'm bringing him to Earth, to the normal life he deserves. I'm coming to get him, Arnim, and then I'm coming for you. Coming to bury your artificial life in a giant damn hole where it can rot for eternity. Your wilted black heart won't spread its decay to one more living thing. You're done playing God. And this whole time he's running, he's kind of, battling some of the mutates, making short work of them. But then Bob, he appears to come across something. What is it?
Well, he comes across what looks to be a garbage chute of some sort, like where the garbage dumps, mm-hmm. from inside that tower that you mentioned earlier, the Zola tower. Mm-hmm. Things that are discarded go down the garbage chute and end up in the garbage dump. And this is what he's just stumbled across.
Holy hell. A mutate body dump. And what do we see here, Bob?
Well, I mean, there's lots of mutate bodies. Obviously, ones that didn't hit quality assurance, right? They're deformed in some ways. They've got multiple arms. They're twisted. Their heads are misshapen and malformed. They're the discarded ones that didn't quite work out in the lab.
And they're moaning. They're in pain. They're asking for help. They're asking to be killed. More than just mutates. In between the gore and the contorted bodies, faces. My face. Ignore it. Only way I've found into the main tower. Ignore the snapping bones. Ignore the moans of the dying. I'm coming, Arnhem. Coming to finish this. Now, Bob, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He's climbing up over these dump of mutate bodies, which are still alive and in pain. And he's saying, ignore the snapping bones, ignore the moans of the dying.
Yeah.
That's not a Steve I'm used to seeing.
I know. That's an uncomfortable position, right? That he's put the
reader
in.
Not as uncomfortable as those mutates.
Well, that's true, right? And many of them, which are clones of him, they're mutates based on his DNA. So, and we can see in some of the faces and some of the hair that these are Steve clones that went awry. Mm-hmm. So they're not, some alien species or something, although there's probably some alien DNA in here, but those are human clones, at least parts of them in there.
Right.
So it's a strange position he's taken here.
So we cut to Zola, and now we haven't described Zola yet in this particular episode, Bob. Do you want to take that, so just in case people aren't caught up yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, we only see in this particular panel, we only see really the top half of him. But, those who are familiar with Zola know that he is headless, right? And mm-hmm. So where his head would be, there is essentially a camera of some sort, a sensor device. And his face is projected through a display screen on his chest. And so for the rest of his body, of course, he has armored legs and arms, some of it biological, some of it cyborg. Well, I guess that is the definition of a cyborg. And he's very regal in his appearance here. He's got a very long cloak, a red mm-hmm. cloak, so he's going for a very aristocratic appearance here.
Aristocratic.
Yeah.
You don't say. Hello, my dear. Please, calm down. And he's walking into a laboratory, and there is a frock. I guess one of the female mm-hmm. frocks that's in a large tube, and she's kind of like pounding at the glass. Don't leave this world in such a state. Your panic won't change anything, you see. We're going to paint a beautiful picture together. I'm going to create something worthwhile out of you. You spent time with our dear Steve Rogers. Quite a specimen, is he not? How would you like to be him? And then he pushes a few buttons on a panel, and yellow light comes over her, and she starts to cry out in pain as her body contorts. There's much to be grateful for. Most of your frocks, brethren, are sacrificed to merely create mutates. A low fate, I admit. Transforming organic material is so much faster than growing it fresh, you see. A perfect biological clay. Your people have served me well in this capacity. And her body is contorting and melting and becoming kind of like a dough type substance, right? You will serve me in an even greater one. You will become the perfect spy to infiltrate Earth, a necessary measure before I can begin the expansion. You will become Captain America. We must concentrate, building with great care. Hence far some component, almost living within the super soldier serum, has made it nearly impossible to create a perfect clone. But I have deciphered the code, for I am Zola. Come now, almost there. bend to my will. Hold your form. Yes. Yes. Finally, after all this time.
Master Zola, an emergency and trouble.
Lech, I am never to be disturbed during
gates and breached. Captain America in Zolandia.
You are certain? Captain America is alive? And then the clone of Steve Rogers behind Zola bends over, bleeding out of the eyes and nose and mouth, and just falls over and dissolves. And it looks like a painful death, Bob.
Yeah, it looks very, very painful.
All I wanted was a family, to be loved, to give my children all of reality in return. On the bright side, we have narrowed the spectrum of possibilities. And he basically flushes her remains out of the tube. And in the end, were it not for failure, there would be no success. So we cut back to Steve, who is climbing up the disposed mutates to get higher. The daily cost of survival here, the constant danger, left me numb. But this horror, piles of casually discarded bodies, draws up dark memories of old wars. On a short clock, concussed, the deep wound, losing blood, and he's still in there, regrouping. And he clutches his chest. The next panel, he looks up and he sees the opening of the cave. My God, the cave. The cave that brought me here a million years ago. Earth. A distant memory now. Been here longer than the 21st century awaiting me. This place has become my normal. This is the life I lead now. The world I know. I could go get help, find the Avengers, whatever's left of them. No. Won't risk it. I won't leave Ian like Dad left me. Alone and in peril. Surrounded by threats. And he goes up the chute that disposed of that mutate. Zola then speaks to his mutate army. Gather the city. Guard the tower. More importantly, find Captain America and kill him. Hunt. Tear his heart from his body. And then we see Jet and Ian. Father, I've brought Ian for his teachings. Ian, is it? You still refuse the name I would give you? You would do well to honor me. I am the god of this land, and soon the god of all others. I will shape life to my suiting. I will dictate the form of things to come. I'll die before I take your name, or I'll kill you, whichever seems easiest at the time. Forgive him. He's ignorant, Father. That is all. He will see. He will learn. I pray you are correct, beautiful Jet. And he caresses her cheek. But I can now see it is my temperament that is widening this gap between us. Beyond my bluster and noise, I'm merely a father who desperately needs his son. Desperately needs him to see that this is his home. This is where he belongs. If you wish to remain Ian, I will accept this, as long as you accept that I love you and only want to make things right. You don't love anything. I loved your mother very much. You were a product of that love. When she passed, my boy, you can't imagine the pain. But there was hope. There was you. There was your sister. Your mother wanted to name you Leopold after her father. But this man stole you from me, stole away the last piece of my dear Mary. If you're so loving, why did you kill my family? When an advanced civilization enters a new land, the primates must give way to progress. It is evolution. Like all small creatures, they are fodder to the will of the greater minds. Fodder? The Frogs kept us alive. They brought me into their home and cared for me. a necessity if I am to offer you and your sister the life you deserve. I want only what all parents want for their offspring, to give you the world. I knew there would be no easy way through this. To show you the daylight, you'll need more than the nudging of words. And he's putting him into this chair, which has these goggles that go around his eyes, keeping them wide open. And he's trapped in the chair. Fortunately, there's a quicker method still. You see, within close proximity, I am master of all I create, including you, Leopold. You just need a bit of deprogramming. You are not the first child this brutal thug has abducted and brainwashed. The first boy, Bucky, Steve trained him to fight, to kill, as he did you, Ian. What type of man endangers children in his crusade? There, I could tell already you're beginning to see the truth. When next we meet, you will love me as your sister does. All right, Bob, so I figured this next page, I'm going to let you describe it.
Oh, well, that is a boon. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. Never, hey, listen, don't ever say I didn't give me anything.
So there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 panels on this page, Rick. And I like the way it's arranged, right? Because on the left-hand side of the page, there is a long panel that stretches from the top all the way to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And in this panel, we see what appears to be a shower of some sort. And as you said, Rick likes to, John Romita likes to draw people in the rain. Well, in this case, yeah. it's drawing somebody in the shower. And in this case, it's jet black. We see from behind. Now, you know, the good bits and pieces are obscured by steam and such and shadows. But
the good bits and pieces,
right? And she is standing in the shower with her arms rested against the side, and she is facing the stream of water, and she's thinking to herself. And then in the remaining panels, we see some close-ups of her face. We see her reaching for a towel, and then in the final two panels, wrapping that towel around her and around her hair. So it's a very eye-catching series of panels, I think, Rick, that really highlight some of her capabilities.
Highlight her capabilities?
Well, I meant just that she's very muscular and, you know, capable.
Uh-huh. Yes. Understood. Do you ever see the movie Paradise with Phoebe Cates?
Rick, are you kidding me? Yes, I know exactly what you're referring to. And
there
yes,
is a
I
scene.
Did pause that scene frequently. Yes.
Hell yeah.
That's what VHS was for.
Big time. Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah, the movie Paradise starred Phoebe Cates and Willie Ames. And they were two castaways in the Middle East. And, you know, she was, I don't know, wouldn't say a princess, but wealthy or something. And
right.
He,
yeah.
You know, he wasn't. And the two of them relied on each other to survive. And they grew up over the course of a few years. They, you know, went from being teenagers, you know, mid teenagers to late teenagers and whatever. And there is a scene where Phoebe Cates' character is in a cave that has water coming down.
Right.
And she's using it as a shower.
Yeah.
This totally reminded me of that. Would you not?
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little throwback there.
I got to tell you, I had the biggest crush on Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, too.
So, oh, well, yeah, there was that. Yeah.
But that took it up to a whole new level.
I think it was like 15 years ago. I found out that she, you know, because she married Kevin Kline.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and Kevin
Kline's
like Kevin Kline's much older than her, too.
Yeah.
And he So two of them have been married. I don't know if they still are, but they married a long time ago. And she kind of got away from acting.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up opening up a retail store that sold like a whole bunch of different eclectic things, like clothing and stuff like that. But it also sold comic books.
Really?
And yeah. 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 Look it up.
Huh.
And I'm like, oh my God, not only is she amazing, but she's also a comic geek. Are you kidding me?
What might have been? Oh my gosh.
So we see Jet, as she's taking a shower and as she's doing, you know, drying herself off and all that, she's talking out loud. Why, oh, why didn't you kill me, Steve Rogers? Mercy? Fine, perhaps. But something else, something calculated. Behind every choice, if you dig deep enough, there's always some selfish impetus. Every choice, Captain. Especially the act of mercy. And then we cut to Steve Rogers there, and he's got a shield in one hand and a pistol in the other, aiming it at her. Don't worry, you won't see it a second time. And so he has her at a disadvantage. She's just wearing a towel. Please, save the bluff. I read you on the air 5 minutes ago when you entered. But one doesn't need omnisenses to have detected your stench, or the fact you do not possess the courage to pull that trigger. Where's my son? Your son? How far out of your mind you must be, mentally crippled from too many years in the Redlands. Kidnapping a child does not make you his father. Shut up! And he grabs her by the throat. You, just another victim of your father's mind control. If you have any love for your brother, you will help me get him out before Zola does the same to him. And at first she looks shocked when he grabs her throat, but then she has this look on her face like she's in control.
She's enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, it's too late for that. Take me to my son, or I will kill you. During the battle, you spared my life, put Ian in my care, even though it meant I'd likely kill you. You did it so he'd be safe, with family. That's not what a murderer does. Last time I ask, where is Ian? Where? Lost to you, forever. Then Zola loses you! And then the weapon that he had in her face, it looks like it fires,
mm-hmm.
based on the noise and the coloring. And then we cut to the final page. And we see Ian sitting in front of the TV monitor watching what Zola had put up there. But the goggles are now off his face, and Ian is talking. He has done this many times before. He is a vampire, living forever, corrupting one after another. And it's interesting, Bob, this one is no longer Bucky. This one he has Nomad.
Right, Jack.
Yeah, Jack Monroe. Kidnapper, murderer, fascist. Father Zola's divine blood runs in my veins. I am fortunate. Father Zola is my true family. My true God. To be continued.
Well.
Well, we keep getting cliffhangers. Every one of these issues is a cliffhanger, Bob.
They sure are. And I like it. I like it. It does leave you wanting more, you know?
It really does. I had said that earlier in a in our Facebook page. It was somebody had posted the last page to I can't remember what issue number it was, like 270 something, and it was where Baron Zemo and Arnim Zola are there, and all the mutates, and Cap, you know, is yelling at them, and it was like cliffhangers like that where he's like, you just can't wait for the 30 days to get here. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You remember those days, Bob, when you would finish a book and be like, what? I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. I remember those days mostly because of that, but also because I could remember what I read 30 days earlier.
Hmm.
Now, if I read a book and then had to wait 30 days to see the next installment, I'd be like, well, did I read the previous one? And I'd have to go back and reread it again. Yeah.
I go through the same thing.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness.
That's why, especially, and Bob, imagine if you read 10 different titles, 20 different titles.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Trying to juggle all those storylines and characters. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I kind of like save all my comics for like a, you know, a story arc. And then once the story arc is done, I'll sit and read 6 at a pop, 10 at a pop, you know, whatever, not at the same time, but you know, that will be like my story that I'm reading.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So Bob, what'd you think? What'd you think of the story?
It's a great story, Ben. I love it. You know, as I've said this again and again and again, so I'm going to say it yet again. You know, it hits differently the more you read this arc, right? There's some dialogue in this issue that I think is profoundly impactful, at least for me. There's a line that, you know, Jet Black says at the very beginning, what madness inspires a man to hold power and not use it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could meditate on that one for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately that is, you know, central to Steve Rogers' identity. He has
his
power.
Character. Yeah.
Yeah. And his character. Right. But it's confusing to people. Not all obviously to Jet Black and Zola, but, you know, we could lift that line out of the comics and apply it in real life as well as 100%. A lens, you know? So, I mean, just lots of great stuff in here.
Well, let's get to that, Bob. You go first this time. What is your favorite panel in today's issue?
Well, I'm going to have to go with that stained glass window of Zola and the Church of Zola.
That huge splash page as one, one big splash.
I think it's really creative use of space. Mm-hmm. The level of detail, sort of a bastardization of what a church is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
This, I mean, there's just so much going on there. And yet it's simple as well, with just Jet Black kneeling, you know, up in front of this big image. So, I mean, I think it's a great, and creative use of space. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. Cause it's like 4 stories tall.
It is. It's ginormous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, man?
My favorite panel is going to be on page 6. So that is panel 4 where Ian says, my father raised me to live by simple truths as well. Always protect the weak, always stand up, never give up hope, and never compromise the good inside you for anything.
Mm.
I love that.
That is,
I love, you know, if my son says that about me, you know, at some point, then, you know, I will feel like I've done something right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that my son, you know, listened to me and watched me and took that all in. And then in the face of adversity, you know, said, no. You know, this is what my father stands for. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I got a little of that today, Rick.
Did you now?
I did, actually.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to do a shout out to my son. So I got an email today. My wife had forwarded me this email. You know, she works down at City Hall. Mm-hmm. My son goes to the city run park. And she got an email today from one of the summer camp people. Basically telling her that, you know, but whenever I get an email that says, you know, Bobby in the subject line, I'm like, oh no, Right. But this was like, she was telling my wife about like what a great kid he was. And he's so compassionate and kind and helpful. And, you know, they took a bunch of smaller kids over to the pickleball court, and like he helped out and gave encouragement and was giving tips to the little kids about how to play, and, you know, telling them if they messed up that, no, it's not a big deal. You know, they're still learning, and all these sorts of things, which is like completely alien of my experience of my son. Right.
Right.
Because that's not how I experience him. So, you know, he came in here right before I jumped on the podcast tonight. And we were just talking. He was trying to convince me to convince you to let him be a guest. And we were just chatting. And just before he left, I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I was really proud of you when I read that email, because his mom told him about it on the way home. And he said, you know, I've got a good role model in you.
Oh,
I know.
That's awesome.
And then he gave me like one of those looks like, you know, I'm playing you along. And then he left. But you know, it was cool. It was cool.
Oh, of course, man. Yeah. That's that, you know, that makes you feel so warm inside, you know. I mean, I don't want to. I've had, you know, my kids say similar things, and it does. It just makes you just, you know, I feel like you did, if you do anything in this world, you did something right.
Right. Yeah. You know. Yeah. So, like I said, I don't always see them that way. So when I hear other people, you know, other people see your kids differently.
And also they act differently too, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course, yeah.
You know, when you're around your loved ones, your close friends, your family, you know, you tend to take them for granted, and you know, mm-hmm. you can let down your guard and act a certain way. But then, you know, when you're out there and with everybody else, you tend to, you try to do your best.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And,
yeah.
So obviously, you know, you've done a good job.
Well, thank you. You as well. So back to the panel, what's going to be on your t-shirt, Rick?
I'm going to go with page 5, Bob.
Ooh, page 5.
The page earlier.
Uh-huh.
And it is the one, it's the bottom half of the page.
Oh, Rick.
I had to, Bob.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
And I want that on a t-shirt, and I want the lettering too.
Uh-huh.
And it's where Cap is, he's running forward. And I said before, his face, I've never seen his face like this before. It's red, it's angry, it's scarred, it's bloodied. His costume is, you know, he's still got the green goop on the shield after pulling it out of the guy's head.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm coming for you, Arnhem, coming to put an end to you once and for all. I want all that on a t-shirt.
All right. I like it. I like it. All right.
How about you, Bob? What are you putting on a t-shirt?
I'm going with the cover, Rick.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think I've seen that on a cover, to be honest. On a t-shirt.
Yeah, I think I might have. It seems to ring a bell. I haven't seen it lately, but I think I, you know, might want to do with a few less raindrops, you know, to sort of clean it up a little bit. But mm-hmm. I think that's a great, and a really well-rendered image of Cap, and with a lot of emotion, and mm-hmm. You could tell that the tenseness in his body that he's getting ready to strike. So yeah, I love that.
You know, it's interesting. Both of our caps are running forward, leaning forward, have the shield in the right hand, and has the left hand not clenched, but it looks like it's about to be.
Right. Yeah.
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 So what is going in your time capsule, Bob?
I got to tell you, Rick, this is a tough one.
It was.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with this, Rick. I'm lost. I don't really have anything. I guess I could go with Ian's 3D glasses. Those remind me back in the days, you know,
okay.
when he's sitting in those chairs, very much like Clockwork Orange, you know.
Yes, totally.
Staring at the screen, having mm-hmm. his mind, you know, warped. So maybe I'll go with that. Maybe just as a throwback, those glasses sort of remind me of the 3D movie craze that mm-hmm. went on like in the late 70s, 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go to any 3D movies?
I did. Yeah.
Back in the day?
I never was a huge fan of it. You know, I know like if you go see Avatar, you probably want to wear the 3D glasses because the movie was filmed in 3D technology.
Yeah.
But the movies that were not, which is most of them, and then they add the 3D effect afterwards, it just, it's not as good, And I think I tried to see a couple of the MCU movies in the beginning with in 3D, and it was just like, it really wasn't worth the extra money or whatever.
You ever do one of those like 4DX movies? Have you done one of those?
No.
Oh, man, they're terrible.
Yeah.
When we first moved here, there's a movie theater right down the street. That's a Regal theater, and they offer movie. They have IMAX, they have regular 2D, they've got they have a 4DX, which is
was that smell-o-vision?
It's yes. It is actually the seats. The seats move, they rock, they tilt, they shake, and then you wear the 3D glasses, so you get that experience. Uh-huh. But there's also, it like puffs things in your face, so like scent around, and then like it'll spritz water in your. It's like if you're like if you're going like down a river or something, and there's splash, it will like spritz water at you. I mean, it's like a whole thing. Wow. And we hated every minute of it.
I totally would not want to see a porno in that movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. For me, for time capsule, I'm going to go with the last page. I'm going to go with the image of Jack Monroe.
Oh yeah.
Monroe and Cap battling AIM or Hydra. It looks
like some Hydra agents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Jack Monroe in a long time. And he's deceased at this point because this is volume 7. He was killed early on in volume 5. This is probably the next time we see him. And so he's going in my time capsule.
That's a good choice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so we promised that we would talk about our next episode, and it is a top 10, Bob. These tend to be very popular with our listeners. And let's see, when was the last time we did a top 10? We did top 10 love interests about 20 episodes ago. That was obviously right around Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to do top 10 one and done Cap villains.
Oh yes.
So these are villains that made an appearance in Captain America stories that, maybe it was just one issue, maybe it was several issues, but then they were done and never seen of again. Yeah. Other than a flashback, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like if the character, is they're referring to the character at some point later on, but it's not like a new story. Right. Then they qualify. And this was tough.
Yeah, it was tougher than I expected.
Yeah. So we we challenged the Facebook group, and man, as always, they rose to the challenge.
Yeah, there were quite a few that were posed that I was like, I hadn't even considered that.
Me too. Yeah.
So that was cool. And I liked that it, sort of forced us also to dig in a little bit and look for some other ones and took a lot of research. But it was a lot of fun to do that because, you're like, damn, that guy did show up in a second story.
Or, yeah. Right.
Or a different title or something,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there were a lot of them that popped up that were like only showed up maybe one story arc in a Captain America, but they might have popped up someplace else. And of course that didn't make the cut. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I actually cheated. I used this database, which is called the Complete Marvel Reading Order, and it's CMRO, Complete Marvel Reading Order, travis-starnes.com. I guess Travis Starnes is the guy who put this together. Thank you, Travis, because I use this a lot to see when characters appeared. And there's a list of major characters, a list of minor characters, and in our case, a list of what they call obscure characters. And oh my God, that is a huge list, and it's all alphabetical. So we that's how we kind of went in and proofed it, to see, you know, and also, you know, use some other websites too as kind of like a backup, just to double check. But yeah, it was a little tough finding ones you're like, oh nope, they appeared
somewhere else. It's a
disappointment.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. You get committed to some of these guys and gals.
Well, Bob, I don't think you're doing it wrong. I check first to make sure they've not been used on before I start getting into research.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That makes sense. It's just so fun to go down the rabbit hole sometimes. So
it is totally. Yeah. And we're going to do that next episode. We are totally going down the rabbit hole. I think there's going to be some characters that you're going to be like, what? They you know, I don't remember them.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a couple of characters you're like, no. They're really only one story. But wow.
I think it's fun too to, you know, I know we've tried to, you know, to spread the wealth, right? So we didn't just concentrate on, you know, volume one, right? We tried to, to pull a little bit from all over the place just to have a little fun with the whole mythos. So,
yeah, that'll be fun. I can't wait to do that. That'll be really cool. All right. Well, Bob, as always, it's been fun wrapping cap with you.
It sure has. I can't wait until our next meeting.
Indeed. All right. Well, he's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. ¶¶